KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music, if it is geek. It's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at Robots Attack Me, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. I am Joe, and with me is...
Caleb.
That's right. We're here to bring you an entertaining show.
Mm-hmm.
Should hopefully be a good one, I think.
Yeah.
You know, it's the normal, I think, things we'll have for you tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're thinking, well, wait, where's the sound of another voice?
Yes.
For this week... It's just Caleb and I.
Mm-hmm.
Will be bringing you the news. Jason is out. Yeah, without getting into crazy detail, some family things with Jason. But on the positive note, sounds like things are looking
well,
good.
Yeah.
So
here's that.
Yeah, that's
here's
definitely
speed
a good thing
and all that good stuff.
But so he's off doing that, and we're off doing this
mm-hmm.
for you.
We're here doing this. He's over there doing that.
Yeah. So there's a lot of doings in different places and various locations. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's people doing stuff in different places, and it's a little crazy. It's like, oh my gosh.
It's true. It's very true. That's what it's going to be tonight. So stick around, lock yourself in, put on your safety belt,
mm-hmm.
sit down, grab some beverages and snacks, and get ready for the show.
It'll be good stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I know we got some competition, being that football is back on now, and you know, that's
mm-hmm.
a pretty big draw for most. But you know,
yeah.
maybe in between the game,
you don't really need to hear the game.
It's
like
true.
Most of the
that's
time
true.
They're just repeating the same thing you just saw like 30 seconds ago. So you can turn that down, turn us up, and it'll be that much more awesome.
There you go. I like how you're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
All right, speaking of things that you're thinking that maybe you'd do this coming week.
Okay.
Not really sure if that worked, but we do new releases at the opening of the show. And
mm-hmm.
so some new releases in theater. It's not a huge week.
Mm-hmm.
This kind of, we're in that slot of,
it's not the holidays.
Yeah, it's not the holidays, so they're holding off on the big movies. And
mm-hmm.
the summer's
kind
over,
yeah.
so you're kind of in that deluge
in between,
like, well, let's put some stuff out at least. But
yeah.
So they've got Dolphin Tale 2.
Mm.
It's been several years since young Sawyer Nelson and the dedicated team at the Clearwater Marine Hospital, headed by Dr. Clay Haskett, rescued Winter with the help of Dr. Cameron McCarthy, who developed a unique prosthetic tail for the injured dolphin. They were able to save her life. Yet their fight is not over. Winter's surrogate mother, the very elderly dolphin Panama, has passed away, leaving Winter without the only poolmate she has ever known. However, the loss of Panama may have even greater repercussions for Winter, who, according to USDA regulations, cannot be housed alone, as dolphin's social behavior requires him to be paired with other dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
Time is running out to find a companion for her before the team at Clearwater loses their beloved Winter to another aquarium. If you're not interested in Dolphin Tales,
mm-hmm.
maybe you're interested in Idris Elba playing a bad guy.
No
Good Deed, a thriller centered on a one-time district attorney who is kidnapped along with her two children.
Yikes.
Maybe you're not interested in thrillers of that nature, but you want to see, I think this might be James Gandolfini's last role. Drop. In the underworld of Brooklyn bars, money drops are used to funnel cash to local gangsters. When a robbery at the bar of his employer and cousin Marv, played by James Gandolfini, goes awry, bartender Bob Sagwinowski, played by Tom Hardy, who you may know, played by a certain villain in a certain film with a man dressed in a bat.
A film you may have seen in the past.
It's true.
It may have been born in the dark.
And playing the upcoming Max in the Max movie. He finds himself entwined in an investigation that digs deep into the neighborhood's past, where friends, families, and foes all work together to make a living, no matter the cost. Ch-ch-ch. And if that doesn't interest you, maybe this last one. Bird People. In a Paris airport zone, two strangers try to make sense out of their lives. An American engineer under great professional and emotional pressure who decides to radically change the course of his existence, and a young hotel chambermaid who goes through a life-altering supernatural experience.
Whoa.
Yes. There's just a little handful of some movies coming out in the theater.
Very cool. Now that the big screen is like, it's just a lot of aggravation and... too much popcorn and soda on the floor, then maybe you want to just, you know, enjoy something at home on the not so big screen, because most TVs nowadays are pretty large.
It's true.
Well, then maybe you'll want to pick up Captain America: The Winter Soldier on Blu-ray or DVD.
Mm-hmm.
After the events that nearly destroyed New York, Steve Rogers is just trying to adjust to life in this new world. When evidence surfaces that Hydra has infiltrated S.H.I.E.L.D., it's up to Captain America, the Black Widow, and the Falcon to bring justice to the free world. Maybe you're wanting... Yes?
Justice.
Justice. Two-fista. Shield of justice. Mighty justice. No. Perhaps you prefer something across the pond, over from the UK, perhaps? And you might consider Doctor Who, Deep Breath, on Blu-ray and DVD. This is a story that brings us the new Doctor. It's Peter Capaldi as the actor. And so brace for a race through space and time with Clara and all the crazy aliens that we're going to meet in the new season. So.
Is it like a...
I think it was like the Christmas special, the one that they... Or I don't know. The one, the premiere in August.
Oh, they just put it on...
I think they did. They put it on disc so that people that maybe weren't able to catch it on Fathom of Special Events or through the cable can now.
That's
collect.
Right. They did. They did show it in the theater for like a day or something on that Fathom Events thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is pretty cool. Good on you, Fathom.
Yeah,
and BBC. That's a lot of fun.
Starting to do more of that stuff like that with that Fathom Events, like random kind of things like that. From opera concerts to
football, Euro Football League to
do they
Who.
Do the Riff Tracks?
Yes.
Are they the Fathom?
Yeah, okay. Fathom Events also helps Riff Tracks put their thing together. So
okay,
it's kind of cool. Two more.
Two more. Okay.
Just a few more. Dr. McStuffins, School of Medicine on DVD. Doc has a unique practice. Her primary care is for stuffed animals. But don't let this fool you. Her lessons about what to expect at the dentist or what it's like to get eyeglasses are for, well, they're good for those who may be nervous about it. And while this might not be for you, it may be good for someone that you know. Wink. Prince of the Night on DVD. A woman seeks to, the help of a local professor to banish some of the myths and legends and tales of terror that surround her lovely Venetian mansion. The most present tale is that of the woman's grandmother, who was abducted by the Nosferatu. What the professor finds below the mansion may put more than a little reality to the rumors. And then, sort of an honorable mention, Young Frankenstein is on Blu-ray and DVD. The reason I mention it's because it's an anniversary edition, new cover. They probably stuck some extra features on there. If you haven't seen it yet, it's one of the best comedies ever made. Of course, comedy is just like everything else. It's very personal. Your opinion may vary. I think it was pretty awesome. But it's worth watching, if nothing else. It's a really well-structured movie, I think.
Have you watched it recently? Or it's been a while since I've...
We watched it like just a few months ago.
Oh, okay. So it still holds up and everything?
Yes,
okay.
It does.
Because, you know, some of the stuff that's like classic,
mm-hmm.
some things, you know, maybe they don't hold up as well as they used to.
Yeah, it's true. Charlie Chaplin definitely holds up because, like, you can't go too wrong with that. But, this one, like, since there's not as much, like, satirical humor of the era, so to speak. Like, there's not like Airplane, yeah, where it was a lot of like very 70s references.
Yeah.
Airplane is still hilariously funny, but some of the references become not so relevant. But since this,
yeah,
Young Frankenstein's so old, is about a story that's that much older and a film that much older,
yeah,
it still holds together much better, I think.
Yeah, like I caught the first Austin Powers recently,
mm-hmm,
and I remember like just cracking up at pretty much like everything, mm-hmm, when I saw it the first time. This time there were still parts that I remembered like all like really liking, mm-hmm, but there were other jokes they're a little more dated, like they're, it, mm-hmm, just doesn't hold up quite as well, and it's very like, it does hit on the nose, like this is the 90s, this is the 90s, you know, they, yeah, even talk about it like you're in the 90s now and blah blah blah, you're like,
yeah,
they hold like the certain jokes like a little too long, like they do, mm-hmm, them, you know, it's just sometimes it can be interesting to go back and see some, yeah, of the stuff and see how like holds up and compares, if it doesn't or it does. But
yeah, the satire of an era, like how does it respond when, yeah, you've gotten past that era. And there's then like Clueless, which is very 90s, but I think that one still holds up pretty well, all things considered.
Yeah, that's another one that's been a while since, mm-hmm, I've seen, but yeah, there's certain stuff where it's like, if the subject matter is so sort of classical in a sense that like anyone can kind of relate to it no matter the,
mm-hmm,
the decade, like if it's just, I mean, yeah, I think that's why, you know, certain like Shakespeare, so, mm-hmm, that's why, like people, they're just like the subject matters are relatable, or you know, mm-hmm, have been transferred so much into everything,
yeah,
that it it still kind of fits,
mm-hmm,
you know, so.
Yeah, definitely.
But speaking of things that you could fit into your console,
hey,
if you buy a physical version, that is,
yeah,
or download it,
it's still like still fitting it in there,
your hard drive, yeah, and stuff. Okay, that segue sort of worked. All right, so video games, not a huge amount of games, but a couple like fairly big ones dropped this week. So, mm-hmm, if you're a sports fan, specifically hockey, you've got NHL 15 was dropped for the PS3, PS4, 360, and the Xbox One. Now, I've heard that the previous gen versions, being the PlayStation 3 and 360, apparently have modes that the new versions don't. And so, a lot of people, well, maybe a lot isn't the correct term, but there's been some fervor about why does the newer the current gen or next gen, however you want to phrase, mm-hmm, it, is missing things that the older one has. You know, it should be the other way around.
Right.
So it's gotten some flack about that, and I need to follow up on it, but I've heard some things that they might patch them in,
mm-hmm,
as downloads down the line, but people are kind of like, why are the newer, you know, why are the newer versions not getting what the old ones have? So,
right. Yeah.
But,
yeah. And it'll be interesting to see how that falls out, because it's one of those things that it's.
Yeah. It's we're still not to like, you know, cut the developers or publishers any slack, but it's like we're still in that sort of phase of like where,
mm-hmm,
the install base for the previous gen is still so big that, you know, they're still making,
do it.
Yeah, they're still making games for it, and then they're still like trying to work with the new consoles, mm-hmm, and stuff like that. So it's
plus that there is a very basic delay in almost all of this, and the fact that that when you go from a current generation, well, the 360 and PS3 to the One and the PS4, there is a fundamental architecture shift in the programming that has to be accounted for. You can't just flip a switch and have it all work. There's a lot of massaging and code rewriting that has to happen in order to get a game that works on one system to work on the other.
Exactly.
Not a minor engineering
thing. Even though the internet would like you to think it is.
Yes. And the people are working on tools to make that easier,
yeah,
but it's still not a...
It
still takes time.
Yeah. And especially since this previous generation has been perhaps the longest, or it's just been so long that we've had that set,
mm-hmm,
consoles, so it's just...
Yeah, it's like, what?
That's another factor.
Eight, 9 years now?
Yeah. So,
which is pretty impressive, all things considered.
Yeah. Before I get to the next one, if you're interested in free radio time, KSU loves to broadcast announcements about local nonprofits and government agencies. You can email traffic@kscu.org with information on services or upcoming events, and we will consider making an announcement for your organization. And I did just that.
Mm-hmm.
And I will read a PSA from that very action of contacting them and getting one in here. So it works.
It works.
It's not just, you know, we're not just spewing it because we're spewing it.
Mm-hmm. It's not just because it's in the binder. It's yeah. It actually works.
It actually works. So the next big drop this week, and I think a lot of other publishers sort of, when they found out this game was dropping, went, okay, so we're not going to release our games anywhere near that.
Yeah.
Would be Destiny.
Mm.
And that too dropped on the PS3, 360, the PS4, and the Xbox One.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and I've heard it's been selling like gangbusters. It's like I think it was Activision that claimed that it was like the highest selling like new IP. So
I would believe it. I mean,
yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. It's
'cause like everything I suspect that a lot of it's a breath of fresh air. Like, we've been seeing sequel
exactly.
4, 15, 87, third version of the revisiting.
Yeah,
of the, yeah,
remake of this, yeah. HD version of that, yeah.
And which is perfectly fine. I mean, you gotta, you know. It's,
yeah.
But still.
Yeah.
It's nice to see something really new. Sorry,
yeah, people, oh no, no. Yeah, people want something new, especially if you've gotten a new console.
Mm-hmm.
And even though they are on the previous ones as well, but, and then, you know, it's Bungie, so it's a company that's people are familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it's just a lot of factors in the I'm excited box that have been checked. So we'll see how long the excitement for it holds, if it's a flash in the pan or if it's going to stick out, because as the week's tread on, there's going to be bigger, you know, big
other
releases.
Large titles, yeah.
So we'll see how it holds. And then finally for the PC, there is RPG Simulator.
Wait.
So
RPG Simulator. So you're faking
I think it's part of a series that has like
Oh, is it from the RPG Maker series?
I'm not entirely sure. It might I think it is part of a series of other like simulator kinds of games, I think.
Okay.
If anyone out there in Radioland knows, hit us up.
Mm-hmm.
Caleb, how can they do that?
If you wish to interact with us on the show, if you want to be part of this live event right now, you can go to Facebook, do a search for Robots Attack, two words, or if you want to just simplify everything, facebook.com/robotsattackshow. That's us. Or hit us up on Twitter. We are Robots Attack Me, all one word. And that is the best way to get a hold of us. Oh, email, robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And if you just want one place to find everything and then link back to all the things I've talked about before, robotsattack.me. That's where you find everything about us. Yeah.
And we've got it open during the show. So even if we've moved on, quote unquote, you can still contact us like our cool.
Our friends at WoW Cool, yeah. Yeah, they usually come back with some recommendations or comics, which I'll be getting to in just a second, actually.
Yes. Ooh, segue, sort of.
Yeah. All right, so the line of comicdom is full of new releases this week because it's new comic book day yesterday. from DC, you might want to check out Batgirl, Future's End. Batgirl, Future's End, number one.
Did she talk like that?
This one might actually. Yeah. This one's a little strange because Barbara Gordon is now Bête Noire or the Black Beast. I probably butchered the French pronunciation. Please don't kill me. And she is now channeling both Batman and Bane.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Interesting mix there. See how that goes. And is now leading a group of fighters through the depths of Gotham Underground. Yeah, the cover design was actually kind of. I first saw the costume, I'm like, wait, that's new. Then I'm like, that mask looks kind of familiar.
Mm.
And I'm like, yeah. So there you go. Over from Marvel, it's Edge of Spider-Verse number one. Spider-Man Noir returns to the page, and this time he's facing a 1930s Mysterio.
Whoa.
Then from Dark Horse, it's Prometheus, Fire and Stone, number one. When the crew of the Prometheus never came back, the answers they sought never returned either. Now a mission is staged to determine if the secrets of LV-223 will remain a mystery.
Mm.
Then from Image, we have Copperhead, number one. The West is no longer the edge of the frontier. Now it's out in the depths of space, 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 space. Copperhead is a mining town just about as far as one can get from civilization without technically leaving it. Clara is the new sheriff, and day one is shaping up to be a doozy. Between shifty mind moguls, an ill-tempered deputy, and a massacre, Clara's going to have her hands full. And there's a kind of a toss in here, Walking Dead number 131. That's Walking Dead. It's
wait,
it's,
one through...
Not The Walking Dead, number 131.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. I thought for a second it sounded like it's a one, at least I heard one through one. It's like, one through one?
Ah, yes. I probably should have enunciated that just a smidge better.
It was probably just me. I was like, one through one? Wait, huh? Is this a weird Walking Dead thing that I missed out on? Or
super short miniseries.
One page. But the answers... like, to the entire series are mm-hmm. all in there in clues somewhere.
Yes.
That's how amazing it is. So, from...
One last one from my normal list. My Little Pony Friends Forever, number 9. While it may be titled Friends Forever, the Flim Flam Brothers are currently anything but.
Oh, man.
It looks like it may be up to Granny to help the boys see past the hurt to a deeper friendship. If she's up to it, there are only so many problems one person can fix.
It's true. Although there's a lot of problems that one person can make.
It's true.
Whoa.
Heavy, Doc.
So from comics, mm-hmm. pages with words on them, to CDs with sounds on them.
And there's often words with the sounds.
It's true. That's true. We've got a new album from Interpol called El Pintor. It's mm-hmm. Self-produced, the first release in 4 years for the New York rock band. It's also its first without bassist Carlos Dengler, and features contributions from Secret Machines' Brandon Curtis, Jellyfish's Roger Joseph Manning Jr., and Bon Iver's Rob Moose. We have a solo release for Karen O called The Crush Songs. It's the debut full-length solo release for the Yeah 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 singer. Was originally recorded in 2006 or 2007. I don't know why it took so long to get out, but...
I think it's like editing a movie. Like, the production can sometimes take that much longer than the actual... The finishing of it can take that much longer than the shooting of it.
That's true. Then we have another solo album from Robert Plant.
Hey.
Lullaby and .. The Ceaseless Roar. It's the 10th solo album for the British rock singer, backed by his band, the Sensational Space Shifters. Feature influences from African dance and jazz music.
Hmm.
We've got a self-titled album from Ryan Adams. It's the 14th solo studio release for the rock singer-songwriter. It was self-produced, self-titled and self-produced. And then we have sort of a surprise, which I believe is just a digital version and maybe only available on iTunes right now. Mm. U2's new album, Songs of Innocence.
Oh.
I guess they, which I assume we'll be talking about later on in the show, the new iPhone stuff.
Yeah, that's going to be mentioned.
They made an appearance there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's... The surprise release of the Irish rock band's 13th studio album on iTunes features production from Danger Mouse, Paul Epworth, Flood, and Ryan Teeter. A physical release is scheduled for the 14th of October.
Ah.
So there you have it. A sampling of some new releases. Hopefully something in there excites you. If not, maybe you could find some other things or continue doing things that you were fun from last week.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know. We try our best.
Yeah, we can't tell you all of it because that would be the entire show and not nearly as much fun as actually discussing.
Yeah,
this stuff
not
that's
really.
Happening.
Yeah, we're not really the new releases show, and we just read off stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's like reading the phone book. It's while interesting and informative, it's not informative, it's not always very interesting.
Yeah.
That's where I was going.
Yeah,
with
that's
it.
Where you're going. Although, if we get some responses from the audience that are like, you know what, I think that would be a great idea, I suppose we can give it a shot.
We can maybe do a special show every now and then or whatever. Yeah, we'll see.
So if that sounds appealing to you, you know, hit us up on mm-hmm. the Facebook and the Twitters and the emails.
Yep.
So yes, I read earlier the PSA about local nonprofits
mm-hmm.
being able to contact traffic at kcu.org and getting messages for us to read. Well,
yes.
Here's the fruit of the labor.
In his hot little hands.
San Jose Animal Advocates. Are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer? Join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving, foster, and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With their help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks. You can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook. All right. We're going to take a music break,
mm-hmm.
and then we're going to come back with the news.
Yes.
Would you like to tease the folks a news story?
How about this? You may have familiar with the Edward Snowden stuff, and how a lot of people kind of like freaked out when they found out they were,
mm-hmm.
their emails being read.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't, and people were like, oh, it's just they did it because they were doing it. A lot of companies did it under pressure, and Yahoo actually was under financial pressure.
Ooh, interesting. All right, you're definitely going to want to stick around for that. So we'll be right back after this music break with more Robots Attack. Here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. We are now entering
news.
That's right, we're in the news, and Caleb has our first story.
That's right, I mentioned something about PRISM and people that had, not prison, but PRISM, that like as in a thing that breaks up light. Because... in case you hadn't heard, there was, you know, the NSA has been tapping a lot of the data that's been flowing in between your major ISPs and your favorite web services. And interestingly enough, a lot of it was done without their knowledge and or was it became compulsory as a part of continued operation.
Mm.
After a fashion. I mean, you know, it's... And as sort of evidence of this, Yahoo in 2008 was almost fined $250,000 if they did not participate with Project PRISM the NSA.
Huh.
And 2008, Yahoo was still doing okay. They were surviving, but they aren't nearly as strong as they are today, which is still, depending on who you talk to, is different scenarios. But this was one of the first occasions where the PRISM program became one of the first steps that it was taking against or to gather information somewhat forcefully, so to speak. There's speculation. I can't remember if this has actually been proven or not, but there's speculation that what happened for a lot of these companies is that the NSA actually set up taps at the fiber optic connections between servers.
Oh, okay.
Now, if that's a bit of gibberish, give me a second. So when you need to transmit data over long distances quickly, your usual Ethernet cables, they start introducing too much resistance and the signal quality falls off relatively quickly. I mean, you can go a long way with them, but you have to put in like repeaters that will boost the signal again.
Okay.
Light does not have that, not as much of that particular problem. And if you use a laser, that's a very, very powerful light. So So when you have data centers on opposite coasts kind of thing, what they'll do is there'll usually be a fiber optic link, which is a bunch of very, very optically transparent material. And then they will flash laser light across it.
Oh, okay.
And they can, because light is the fastest thing we know of in physics, mm-hmm. it gets from one point to one point very quickly, and you get almost no packet loss. But it also means, because it's light, it can be split.
Mm.
And so prism also became a, some people suspect that the prism also was a literal prism in fiber optic taps that would split the data to going where it was supposed to and into another data center or another server. So I have to do a little more research on whether that actually was proven or not. I remember from fairly reliable sources that kind of had happened.
Oh, okay.
So, but you know, when some of the companies, Google and Facebook and Apple and some of the others said we didn't do this willingly, so to speak, they aren't necessarily lying. Like the government has many, many tools at their disposal to make a person's life considerably uncomfortable. And you know, the fact that any of this happened at all is, you know, equal parts troubling and fascinating at the same time, because it's like a massive like social engineering or social experiment that no one bothered to tell anybody they were a part of. the story is really interesting. The Washington Post and a bunch of other people were talking about it, just kind of like how Yahoo was strong-armed into putting into giving up a lot of its some of its data on its users. So it'll be interesting to see like how some of this will pan out. What's going to go forward? And it sounds like a lot of people in Congress stuff have heard our cry of that's not cool, and have started to scale back the powers of the NSA, or at least put in a check where it's like, You have to do this before you can do this. It may not stop them from doing it, but at least now we can, if we look back at the trail, like, wow, you went after all of this. Is there a reason? Did this person really have, or did all of these people have any sort of connection, anything? And so oversight is one of the first steps to curtailing like just wanton destruction of personal liberty. So.
Yeah. And we'll keep you posted on further events.
Exactly.
And if you want to check out that story, read more on it, we post all of our stories to our Facebook page and robot, and then Twitter, we tweet them out and everything. And so,
yeah,
because a lot of our stories tend to have pictures or videos as well, and
or a lot more text than we can really push into this. These are summations, so
yeah. And so, you know, you shouldn't look at the pictures or videos while you're driving. So
please do not do that. That's unsafe on many levels. Wait till you get home or till you're stopped someplace and you have time to actually lean back and enjoy the information.
Yes. Like this next story. If you are just tuning in to Robots Attack on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound, we are in the news, and I've got our next story. This one involves Stephen Hawking and Intel.
Ooh.
They announce connected wheelchair. Wheelchair users can monitor their health, wheelchair status, and accessibility of places they visit. Intel has announced a new connected wheelchair designed to transform standard wheelchairs into data-driven machines, designed by engineering interns and endorsed by theoretical physicist Stephen Hawking. The wheelchair absorbs biometric information from the user, as well as mechanical information from the machine itself. It can then be analyzed to provide a better experience for wheelchair users. It also comes with an app that allows users to map and rate the accessibility of different locations. Quote, a wheelchair user can now monitor important information about their health, the status of their wheelchair, and the accessibility of the place they visit, significantly improving their day-to-day life, says Hawking of the design. The wheelchair is being showcased at the 2014 Intel Developer Conference in San Francisco. Hawking's life story will be told in the biopic, The Theory of Everything, which we scored fairly well in our review, despite a slow first half. I grabbed this story from IGN, so they have a review for it. And yeah, that sounds pretty cool. Like, it is something, as I know on the show, we've talked about like new prosthetics and everything like that. But yeah, it is something not that, like, I don't think we've, you know, completely forgotten about wheelchairs, but it is something like you do sort of forget about it. Like, as far as like,
It's not the forefront of technology.
You're like updating them with, and you think, well, it has a lot of sort of electronics or equipment like there. Why, you know, why don't we upgrade or make them better and stuff? So that's a cool, I don't know, idea, like teaming up with Stephen Hawking and actual Intel. Like,
yeah, it's like, you know, there's many people that have great minds that are not as mobile as they would like to be, or that are hampered in their day-to-day life because of, you know, whatever. So that's like, that would be, it'd be really awesome to like make that better for them, and also give meaningful data back to places that would, you know, like to have people have their location be more accessible, but they just may not know how inaccessible it is.
Yeah, like, oh, I want to go there. Oh, let me check that. Oh, gonna need some help getting to this, or I don't think I can access this, and hopefully make it better, alert the people at wherever the location you're trying to go to, like, oh, this is something we need to fix,
yeah,
make it more accessible for people. So
very cool.
Pretty cool. So can you segue from Stephen Hawking Intel wheelchair to,
well, let's go from things that improve your wheelchair to things that will improve your hat, so to speak. The a lovely open source project that I have mentioned before, it's the Raspberry Pi. The lovely $35 computer that a group in the UK released to, you know, help get schools and children involved in programming and technology by making it really, really, really inexpensive. They weren't the first to do this. The before them was a project called the Arduino, which was fantastically successful. And one of the things that made Arduino really unique is that they made it really easy to attach extra things onto the Arduino to give access to more more servo controllers for robotics, or more sensors, or just even more connections onto to create extra stuff. And another company called created a similar device called the BeagleBoard, which is, you know, took the Arduino and said, if we make it a little bit more expensive, we can make it a lot more awesome. And then they created capes for that. And, well, Raspberry Pi is not to be one left behind by this amazing, these leaps in innovation. They have released Pi hats, which are, it's currently in spec. They'll be releasing production, units in the near future. But what these extra boards do is they connect to the GPIO, which stands for General Purpose Input Output Connectors, which is a set of pins on the board.
Oh, okay.
And by making this plate, effectively, or hat, if you will, it goes on top, that has these pins built in, now you can create essentially a breakout board on top of your Raspberry Pi, to which you can do things like add more buttons, add a screen, do extra things with cameras, add more sensors, expand memory. Like, it just kind of like, it takes a very simple thing, and by putting something simple on top of it, you now can almost unlimited levels of what you can do. I mean, obviously, amount of power it pulls and how much processing power you can throw at any particular issue are limited to what they have on board, but now they will have they're working on creating a spec for doing extra things with your Raspberry Pi beyond just being a fantastically great little computer.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. So now, not to take away anything from the Arduinos or the the BeagleBoards, because they are fantastic as well, but now, like, you don't have. basically now you have more choices. And this is the classic.
That's always good.
More choices is good. This is classic competition at work. Is the Raspberry Pi the right solution for your project? Maybe. Consider, but now if you had ruled it out, now maybe it might be an option. So now, but now you have three very good, very, very inexpensive, very simple hardware solutions to embedded technologies, which is a lot of fun.
No. Speaking of fun,
mm-hmm.
might be fun to watch, maybe, if you're into 3D printing and you're into cars. Apparently, there's a world's first 3D printed car built live
at
IMTS.
Is the motor was the motor built there, the 3D printer also?
Well, it looks like U.S. automaker Local Motors is attempting to make history by building the world's first 3D printed car at this year's International Manufacturing Technology Show in Chicago from the 8th through the 13th. Mm-hmm. So it's going on now. The vehicle named the Strati will be printed over 44 hours. Then rapidly assembled by a team led by Local Motors, with the historic first drive set to take place the morning of Saturday, this Saturday.
Oh.
Using direct digital manufacturing, the first time it has been used to build a car, Local Motors will 3D print the bulk of the vehicle. It should be noted that mechanical components like battery, motor, wiring, and suspension will be sourced from a variety of suppliers.
Okay. So, which makes sense. That's a typical thing to 3D print just yet.
Yeah. Rather than printed, and will be added to complete the vehicle and then have it up and running. And obviously, they can't print the fuel as well.
Naturally. Not yet.
Yeah. The Strati uses just 40 parts. Local Motors claims a typical conventional car has over 20,000. Local Motors is hoping the Strati proves the viability of using sustainable digital manufacturing solutions in the automotive industry. Plans to launch production-level 3D printed vehicles that will be available to the general public for purchase in the months following the show. In 2010, 3D printing company Stratasys and engineering firm Core Ecologic unveiled the Urby at the 2010 SEMA car show in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not familiar. This isn't heard of this, but the Urby featured a 3D printed shell mounted on a more traditional metal chassis.
Hmm.
So,
we're getting that much closer to crowdsourced vehicles, almost literally.
Yeah, yeah, and I guess they have. You can watch the progress. There's a link to the official website, so if you go to the story, which we will link to on our Facebook and Twitter, you can click on the link in there and then actually, I guess, watch it. Live,
being printed, like, that's kind of cool. That also would, if they can make that like really robust and rigid, that would be a really good way for even like for expeditions or even or military vehicles. Like, we need to put this vehicle back together. We need a part that goes here. Well, we have the printer. Click. All right.
Yeah.
It may not be a final piece. You might not want to, like, you know, trust your life to it, but it might. In terms of, like, you know, weight or whatever, but like maybe it's enough to get you to where you can be safe and can actually repair the vehicle fully. So that would be really cool.
Yeah.
The future is coming.
Man, it's crazy. Crazy cool.
Crazy. Alrighty. Let's see. How about this?
Okay.
The Earth is under attack from the sun.
What?
Sort of. The sun has unleashed a major solar flare. These are moments where the nature, like the sun is a gigantic furnace, the largest one that anybody can think of, right? Until we move to other stars, which are technically bigger. But anyway, and every so often, like you've seen, like, you know, you put a log in the fire and all of a sudden it goes pop. And get a little burst of like a sap or whatever. This is sort of like that. It's a lot more technical, but it's not unsimilar in terms of what you perceive. Like, there's a sudden ejection of extra material or energy from the sun.
Okay.
What makes the this is an it's classified as an X-class solar flare. and it's being potentially amplified by other solar storms happening on the surface of the sun because it's so big. It's creating its own like weather, so to speak, on its surface and all that other good stuff.
Oh, okay.
But the what makes these sort of interesting and kind of like everyone gets a little bit antsy is that they have a habit of affecting high-frequency radio communications, which is like satellite communications and like, cell phones even will be affected by this because microwaves are fairly high frequency.
Mm-hmm.
So if you notice that your cell phone signal is worse than usual, it's supposed to be arriving... I don't see the exact time, but usually when this happens, this like the ejection is only so long, but the effects of it kind of like linger for a little bit because it's that big. You may notice that your cell phones aren't quite as reliable as they normally are, which isn't saying a whole lot, but that's a different issue entirely.
Yeah.
This will often... power grids also can be affected by this because they're high-frequency transmissions.
Mm-hmm.
And it will usually makes for very lovely northern and southern lights. The auroras at the caps get even more impressive when solar flares happen, so...
And Superman.
Yes, and Superman. He fly into the solar flare, rejuvenate his powers. And
I remember there was an episode of Smallville. There was like solar flares going on and it like affected his powers.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was like hard for him to control them. They were like...
bursting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was stronger than normal. It was like, I hear everything and it's hard to control this and stuff. So, So Superman, if you're out there and you're listening, beware of the solar flare. I know you got a lot on your plate. So
with the whole world and stuff.
Yeah.
But
maybe take that weekend off or something let Batman, Wonder Woman and Green Lantern and Aquaman handle the justice for
a
while.
Handled.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
Stop it.
Ah, Bane.
Yes. Oh, well.
So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a music break and then we'll come back with some more news.
Mm-hmm.
This way, give the folks a chance to check out the news stories.
Yes.
Which, how can they do that again?
You can find us on Facebook. You can either do a search in the Facebook search bar for Robots Attack, two words. That'll be us. Or if you want a faster way, Robots Attack Show, stick that to the end of facebook.com/. That will be us. Or you can hit us up on Twitter. We are Robots Attack Me. It's all one word squished together after twitter.com. And of course, there's always ye olde email at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And if you're driving, you think, I just got to remember one thing. Just remember one thing. Mm-hmm. Remember, robotsattack.me.
Simple,
that is
easy.
Simple, easy. That will get you links back to everything else we described and also where you can find archive shows and other cool stuff.
Awesome. All right. Let's take that music break. We'll come back with some more news and perhaps a special guest.
Perhaps.
May make an appearance.
That would be cool.
The news of the next segment. You'll just have to wait and see. All right. We'll be back with more Robots Attack here on KACU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. I wonder if I should do this now. Should we have our special guest do
our
PSA?
Why not? Should do our PSA. What do you say, special guest?
That sounds good.
Oh.
Let's see. Amy Ellingston, Iterations and Assertations. You guys are giving me tongue twisters, thanks. Yeah, special guest is never going to come back.
No.
It's a solo exhibition at the San Jose Institute of Contemporary Art that is running from June 7th. Through September 13th, 2014, Ellingston's paintings and works explore the relationship between the lightning-fast process of digital...
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. We're still in the news portion of the show. And I've forgotten. Do you? Is it my turn?
I think it's your turn.
My turn? Okay, let me see. Let's grab something that... let's go from...
No pressure.
Yeah.
If you need a little time, I have one that I can...
No. I think it. So apparently Will Ferrell wants to challenge gamers to help cancer charities.
Sweet.
So comedian Will Ferrell, best known for his roles in films like Anchorman and Elf, and for making the cowbell something people demand more of, is challenging gamers to raise money for charities that help kids battle cancer. Both Donate Games and Cancer for College are the beneficiary organizations supported by Ferrell's Indiegogo campaign called Will Ferrell's Super Mega Blast Max Gamer Challenge.
Nice.
The funding goal for the project is $375,000, with all proceeds going to the charities. Everyone who donates to the campaign will be entered into a drawing, the grand prize being an all-expenses-paid trip for two to San Francisco on October 26th. To play games with Ferrell on a Twitch live stream.
Nice.
It will be a one-time live stream that will not be rebroadcasted. Quote, you can expect some surprises, said Donate Games founder Jim Carroll. In addition to the drawing, each donation tier has other rewards for those who donate. At the starting tier of $10, backers will receive a $5 Amazon gift card toward a video game and will also get one entry into the sweepstakes.
Nice.
Other prizes include shirts, autographed controllers, Will Ferrell's Super Mega Blast Max Gamer Sunscreen.
Sunscreen?
And the highest tier of $5,000 funds a college scholarship for cancer survivors.
Nice.
With all the negativity that has been at the forefront of gaming culture, it's refreshing to see a campaign that asks gamers to support two charities that help kids make it through times that most of us are lucky enough to be unable even to conceive. Donate Games was founded by Jim Carroll when his son Taylor, then 11, was diagnosed with leukemia. So, the only downside to this is that's like the day after Extra Life.
Oh,
I believe Extra Life is the 25th this year. So, I mean, you know, it's not like you can't do both. It's just, there's going to be a lot of gamers staying up for 24 hours raising money for children's hospitals the day before.
Yeah.
So maybe
next year, space it out a little.
Yeah.
Space it out a little bit. Or maybe like it's a challenge to all those that didn't participate in Extra Life.
That's true.
There you go.
Do this instead. You know, or, you know, take your pick. Which, you know, do one. Both are worthy.
Yeah.
And excellent causes.
So there you go. Will Ferrell trying to get the gamers to help. Trying to spread some positive gaming vibes.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Let's see. This one's sort of a short little fun story, so to speak. If you haven't been paying attention, J.J. Abrams likes to post pictures from the set of Star Wars Episode 7. And there's a new one. And He's very clever about the way he does these, because he never quite shows you what you think you're seeing, even though he is showing you something. In this case, it's a photo of a note about the Apple event, which we'll probably talk about in a little bit. And
it's pretty funny.
What's really interesting, and where the speculation begins to run thick, is the background of the picture. Looks to be the reflection of the wall lighting from either the Death Star or a Star Destroyer. So it's an imperial pattern, if nothing else. So
it does look very sinister.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sinister background.
It might
all dark side.
Yes, and there have been rumors flying thick also about how There's apparently going to be some not insignificant amounts of flashback to like pre-Return of the Jedi story time.
Oh, okay.
And there's some speculation that it will also be showing off that it'll show off Darth Vader at his prime. So it will show him like taking down like systems and stuff like that.
Ooh,
so
it'll show where he got his bad reputation.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's all rampant speculation. All we know is that there is a very familiar pattern being used somewhere on the set of Star Wars Episode 7.
Sweet.
Yes.
Cool. Yeah. I think they, the other, like the first sort of photo kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Where they did the charity.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think they've chosen another picture that he tweeted, I think, announced like the winner of that or something. It was something about like, thank you all for we've raised this much amount and then mm-hmm. I'll see blah, blah, blah on set. Like the person's mm-hmm. name. So I guess they've announced like who won or something. I don't know.
Okay.
But,
yeah. Very cool.
So yeah. Let's see. I'm going to do, which one?
Which one will you do?
I'm here, but I'm completely useless.
No, you're good. For,
I didn't expect to be here.
You're good for the analysis side. She's kind of like,
I'm unprepared.
Yes.
Yay!
I'll
just put the pressure on you guys. Just gonna stare at you until you find a story.
Rumored new title for Rambo 5.
Ooh.
Is it not Rambo 5? Is it Rambo V? Could this be a misunderstanding?
Rocky Roman V or Maroon V?
Yeah.
David.
You could just be confused.
It's possible. It looks like Stallone intends on making Rambo 5, which rumor has it will take its name from a game. Coming Soon claims that the fifth film is titled Rambo Last Blood.
Oh.
Which is not only a play on the original film's title First Blood, but was also the name of an online Flash game developed by Peter Javidpur.
God bless you.
Yes. If this title rumor is true, then we're pretty doubtful the movie will also follow the plot of the game, which, get this, saw Rambo killed by a bus and then having to atone so he can get into heaven by running around hugging ninjas.
Yeah, that's probably not going to be it.
Probably not.
But apparently Rambo has gone through all of his blood.
Yeah, this is the last.
He's gone from first to last. We missed the middle blood.
This will be the last of the blood that either he spills or...
It's like, good to the last drop. Okay. Yeah. Maybe that should be the subtitle.
Yeah.
Rambo, good to the last
drop.
Rambo, last blood. Good to the last drop.
There you go.
Oh. We're improving this.
Yeah.
You're welcome, movie. You're welcome, movie people.
Yeah, yeah. Stallone should reach out to us and if he needs help with movie titles.
We got your back, Stallone.
Yeah. And speaking of having our backs, if you want to listen to KSU even when you're not near radio, you can stream us whenever you want at KSU.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website and never be without the underground sound.
Cool deal.
That's what I do on my phone. It's good stuff.
Nice. And, of course, the tip.
Pro tip. If you want to find our station specifically, KSCU is what you put in the search term. That will bring you direct to us because the call letters are unique to every radio station across the globe.
Mm.
103.3 FM is not unique across the globe.
If
you wish to experiment with what is being played around the world on 103.3 FM, check that out. But if you want to find us, KSCU. Search term.
There you go. Make it nice and easy.
Yes. Very, very easy. So, I'm going to start gently segueing into some of my other topics by mentioning that without any buzz or fanfare, our old friend, the iPod Classic, is at last no more.
Oh. Mm.
13.
That surprises me only in that it was still alive.
Yeah, 13 years after it was launched, it has finally been retired. The first generation came out, obviously, in 2001, and it was called A Thousand Songs in Your Pocket, and it was 5 gigs. And it was...
Wow.
It was quite the thing. It was also really, really, like, early stages, but still, it was just... The idea of it was so cool, and of course, iTunes. Cool. iTunes came along and made everyone's managing of music that much easier. The last version, which has just recently been retired, was 160 gigs. So that is, I'm not sure how many folds more, but it's quite a bit.
Quite a bit.
And it is also thinner and lighter, and has a longer battery life than the first one. But that goes without saying, because Moore's Law tells us that will happen. this makes a number of Apple fans that are audiophiles, which are people that are really into audio fidelity, sad, because now they can't carry around their uncompressed audio or their losslessly compressed audio as much. But at the same time, I'm sure that if the thing about like most of these iPod classics is that they are so like well engineered and solidly built at this time, that as long as like the battery is good and the hard drive is still spinning, you really don't have anything to worry about. Like it's going to last you many, many years. And by the time it finally dies, I'm sure you will find a suitable replacement that will play your files.
Yeah. Yeah. I still use mine.
Mm-hmm.
Use it at work. Listen to music and podcasts. So
yeah,
I'm trying to think how many. Is it like over 4,000 songs I have on it or something? Mm-hmm. I know it's not full, but yeah, to compare it to like the original, definitely a difference.
just a little bit of a difference.
Yeah.
So there you go. Let's all tip our hats to the MP3 player that actually made. MP3 players, like, cool. And before we jump off, our friends at Wow Cool got back to us. They have been preparing for SPX, which is the Small Press Expo. So they were a little bit away from their computer. This week, they recommend Prophet Strike File, number one. Cringe, which is an anthology of embarrassing statement, embarrassment. An anthology of embarrassment, and in a sense, Lost and Found by Roman Murdov. I think they're separate.
Mm.
And then he recommends us to a link from the Comics Journal. So, or they recommend us to a link from the Comics Journal. So there you go. There's a couple of things from people beyond us who are in the know that are bringing you comics. Support your local comic stores.
Nice. So you spoke of Apple and the iPod Classic going away.
Yes.
Did you want to segue to the?
Unless you have, do you have another story you want to? Okay.
I'm good.
Yeah, I will gladly jump over to the. Unless you've been living under a technological news rock, you heard about the Apple event that happened on Tuesday. For those of you who are Android users, you might be smugly smirking at some of the announcements. But you know, not to say one's better than the other, but Apple has rarely been an industry leader. They have been they usually come in later and are industry defining, aka which you know. Segues very nicely from the iPod Classic, which when the iPod launched, it was not the first iPod but not the first MP3 player. There was about 10 to 15 decent MP3 players, but they were all like kind of differing levels of not awesome. And
yeah, sort of like the tablet too. The first with the tablet, but
Microsoft had been making tablets for about 10 years before Apple dropped it, but they defined it by saying, this is what we're doing different. This is how we're doing it differently. So the fact that the iPhone 6 is now at a scaled to a size that is comparable to the Nexus 4 from a couple of years ago. Well, yes, Android users, you can definitely take your have a little smug smile about that. I will not begrudge you a little bit of Schadenfreude. But seriously, it's at the, no one else is, I think, terribly surprised by this. But then again, the iPhones themselves are not like revolutionary. They're evolutionary. They have a very solid platform, and now they're making it better. And the Apple's, the iPhone 6 and the 6 Plus are bigger, literally. The 6 is a 4.7-inch display, and the 6 Plus is a 5.5-inch inch display. They've also, interestingly enough, it's like they're stealing from their earlier designs, and now the now they have curved edges again. So you don't have
the curved edges.
Yeah, they've gone back. They've gone back to curved edges. So now you don't. You won't have it digging into your fingers as you're holding it, unless you have a case which softens the edges. But you know, they're using a new kind of glass, self-developed. They have new cameras. The cameras have always been one of their better features, and the new ones are pretty awesome. They are 8-megapixel cameras on the rear, and with an f2.2 aperture. For those who know, that's exciting. For those who don't know, just accept the fact that it's pretty cool. They also have a new processor. A co-processor for doing image stabilization. Now in the 6, it's digitally done. They're analyzing the data and figuring out like how do we stabilize this.
Okay.
In the 6 Plus, it's actually got enough size and enough depth that they actually have physical stabilization in it. So it's actually like little motors are making micro adjustments as you move around.
Oh, okay.
And these are coming from the M8 coprocessor, which is, I believe, they also introduced that in the 5S, if memory serves. But they're using the gyroscope and the motion processor to actually do more cool things.
Oh, okay.
They have a new core CPU and a new graphics processor built into it so that it's faster and more impressive. The other thing that's pretty rad that they added is NFC, which stands for near field communication. And it's not just that they added NFC, they made a whole system around it that are calling Apple Pay. Not the most incredibly amazing naming system, but it's very clear what it is. But what the way it works is like you've probably been to a number of stores and you've seen like a little like block,
little scanner thing
that's sitting in front of the cash register that's got a MX symbol and stuff like that on it. It's got a little translucent white thing at the top.
Okay,
that is an NFC sensor. And now what you can do with the phone is you can hold it up to that sensor, put your thumb on the, or your finger on the touch ID, and it will transmit or transact a payment.
That's awesome.
Okay.
You don't need to swipe a card. You don't need to give your card to anyone. Right. You don't need to, no one needs to touch it other than you. And it's tied into your person. It's 2-factor authentication effectively because you need the phone plus your thumbprint plus the card. So like it's like,
I wonder how well that will work functionally.
It will be interesting
how smooth it will go.
Yeah
cool. I mean, that
concept though,
yeah, that's where it gets a little bit no one's entirely sure how that's going to literally play out. But
did you say that was just the Plus version or both?
The 6 and the 6 Plus both have this.
Oh, okay.
Built into the phone itself.
Oh, okay.
Again, if you haven't been living under a speculative rock, in this case, the Apple iWatch has been rumored for
a long time,
at least a year, probably a year and a half, 2 years. And now it exists. It's not just rumor. It actually is real. The physical design of it is pleasing, but it's not like, wow. It's really nice. It looks really good. It's just, but it's a square. It's a rectangle on your wrist with a wristband. Now, it's a very pretty one, but it's not like, you know, the most amazing thing ever. One of the things that they did talk about is, you know, obviously the watch faces are customizable. It will be it has a heartbeat monitor. It has a gyroscope. It has, it has like four sensors embedded on the bottom of it, which will do biometric sensing of your body.
Oh, okay.
Which will be
pretty cool.
Yeah, tied into their health kit and the health book app, and eventually into like your Nike Plus and what have you.
Mm.
So it is also a fitness band, but it's also actually a watch. It has two buttons, kind of like a home button, and then a rotating crown. Like if you've seen like an old school,
like old timey watch that you have to wind.
Yeah, it's got
you
a little.
You have to wind this watch.
It runs on love. You need to wind it sometimes. No, this one is it's actually powered by batteries, but that's definition. But like that's kind of their interface for dealing with like rotating through menus and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Is like when you want to select something, you kind of click the crown or this little dial, and then you can twist it to move through a lot of different things. So you're not sitting there swiping.
Click wheel.
Yes, okay. Exactly. It's just like the click wheel. It does still have touch interface. Like you can tap things, swipe things, but you're not going to be like pinching and zooming on your wrist.
Okay.
It has Siri integration. And just like all kinds of fun stuff. The strap is a magnetic clasp, so you don't have to like get as much pinching of the skin, ideally.
Oh, okay.
It's not cheap. The retail price is $350. So
it's not horrendous for what it is, honestly.
No, it's not like exorbanent either.
The phones are like, what, 600?
Yes, yeah. 600 something. That's
because the watch doesn't seem so bad.
Yeah, the new flagship. Plus, the watch is backward compatible, I think, down to the 5. And I think the 4S, but I'm not positive about that. Mm. But one of the other things they talked about was that there's an NFC chip in the watch. So if you have a touch sensor enabled phone and it's not the 6, but you still want to pay with the Apple Pay,
okay,
you just hold your watch up. And do it that way instead of holding the phone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or at least that is one way around it.
Okay.
Or if you happen to have the 6, you don't want to take it out of your pocket. Okay. You can just click.
Watch.
So.
Everybody's going to look like they're punching everybody else. Yeah. I'm paying for this.
So there you go. That's kind of the quick rundown of some of the cool things. If you're thinking that they just scaled down iOS onto the watch, that's not technically true, although you will find a lot of familiar gestures and look and feel, but it's not iOS. They actually wrote an Apple Watch OS. Mm. So
it's not just tiny iOS.
No. So it's a whole new, its own thing, but it's designed to work
with
them. And I think it'll also like tie in it probably also has a Bluetooth in it also for like interacting with like a laptop or something like that.
I think so.
I can't remember off the top of my head if that was in this article that I'm looking at doesn't happen to say, but it's pretty cool looking, and it has polished chrome, anodized aluminum, and gold plated. For those who want a little bling with their watchdom. But yeah, there you go. That's kind of the rundown of the latest from Apple.
Very
nice.
Cool.
Yeah, we'll see if they can do with the watch sort of what they did with the tablet. Like,
yeah,
it'll be interesting.
People
to see
at first were kind of like, what am I going to use this for? And then when they actually had it and started using it, it's like, I gotta have this.
Sounds kind of ubiquitous.
I'm
curious because like, I wouldn't mind having something that like I don't have to like reach into my pocket. Like, oh, something buzzed. Do I want to check that now? Do I need to check that now? I'm not planning on getting this anytime soon because it's expensive. But It's a cool idea, and I would be curious to know if the sensors work very well, if the face is on the inside of your wrist as opposed to the outside, because it's now currently designed for the outside.
Yeah.
Some people like to have their watch
on the inside. Yeah.
That's true.
So we'll still see.
Be fun to go play with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. might drop by an Apple store.
Yeah. Maybe Saturday.
Yeah, they have. One last cool thing is that the watch has a magnetic charging cable, just drop this.
So wondering
little
about that.
Bead onto
charge
the back
that
of it,
little baby.
And it connects, and you plug it in, and it will charge that way, sort of by induction. So, the world of wireless charging may soon be coming to Apple products, but
I'm just picturing people like asleep with the charging thing on the nightstand with their wrist on it. That would be me. Hashtag lazy.
You can take it off.
Magnet, you got to tug on it. That's a lot of work.
Nice. Well, speaking of things that don't require a lot of work, if you're an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes, but you have limited time to volunteer, you can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook. All right. So that's going to do it for the news, right? Mm-hmm. Unless there was anything else.
I think that's good.
I think that's a good way to round it up. And there's really not a whole lot of time left in the show, and we didn't really have like anything super duper plan left.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we can do sort of a quick geek talk, because I know last week,
right,
you, and it actually works out even better, our special guest Elaine both went to a concert that didn't get a chance to talk about last time. So
you're gonna let me geek out about the concert.
Like, so we can use the remaining of the show to do kind of a quick geek talk, and then wrap it up for the week, and then we'll be back again next Thursday from 6 to 8. But so, yes, you two both went to a concert. Well, I don't know the date now. But now
it was Labor Day weekend.
Labor Day, okay.
Yeah, Sunday.
Sunday, yes.
Of Labor Day weekend. We went to the punk rock picnic, Live 105's punk rock picnic at the Shoreline, which was really odd because it was at the Shoreline, but it wasn't at the Shoreline Amphitheater.
Yeah.
It was like a little side parking lot, like tailgate party.
Okay.
Put the punk rockers out there.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was. It was very, very loud, but in a good way.
Fantastically loud. Yeah.
Was it like an all day kind of thing? Or
yeah,
kind of.
It started at like three,
yeah,
wrapped up around 9 or 10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was
multiple bands.
Yeah, a long line of bands. The full listing was what Storio so far. That's
Stiff
the one band.
Little with Fingers.
Stiff Little Fingers, The Vandals, Pennywise, Bad Religion, and then the end with The Offspring.
Yeah.
Okay.
And The Offspring's like kind of big thing they were doing at this show was they played Smash, their debut album, like in its entirety.
Okay.
Yeah, which is really fun. My understanding is this concert series is like a 20 or 25 year reunion of the label.
Yeah.
So all these bands are
on
the same label,
label,
so they're kind of touring, and so that's why they were doing Smash all the way through, which suits me just fine because that was one of my favorite albums of all time. So
yeah,
was like stoked to be able to hear all those songs.
Yeah, I've noticed that with other concerts that certain bands are doing, they'll take an album and do like the entirety of it or something, like this is the blah 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 album tour and we're gonna do an entirety, and like that's cool that, because a lot of times on an album there'll be songs that they never played like on the radio, but you really liked them.
Yeah,
like,
really,
really
good songs on that album.
They never played this one on the radio. Yeah. Like, I want to hear it live, and it's your chance to actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my opinion of that album, it's good all the way through. It's all good stuff.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Yeah, and then they took a slight break after that, like 1 minute.
Yeah.
Went off stage for a minute. They're like, how about we take a short break, like a minute, maybe two, and then come back and play a whole bunch of other songs. So
no!
It was nice. Yeah.
Like,
they did more than just Smash, but it was really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great seeing Bad Religion as well. That was
Bad Religion was really good
for me. I saw them makes myself feel old, but I saw them probably like close to 20 years ago.
Okay.
They're opening for Pearl Jam, and Pearl Jam ended up being a no-show at that concert.
Oh, wow.
Eddie Vedder was sick with the flu, apparently.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
We waited and waited, and there were like 50,000 people there. It was this ridiculously hot day.
Oh, that
tons
sucks.
Of people crashed the concert. And, but Bad Religion was fantastic back then. They still are.
Mm-hmm.
They were great to see again.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. Like, I was thinking about, like, depending on who you talk to, like, seeing, like, certain bands, like, on a reunion tour or, like, an anniversary tour, so to speak, is sort of a... Well,
they're not really seeing what their prime was. This isn't the way it was supposed to be. It's like,
all of these bands left it on stage. Like none of them like were slacking when it came to like being an awesome punk band. So that was cool. And like the and I made a Pandora station out of this. And like I'd heard some of these bands like going in, but like Stiff Little Fingers like still like blew me away. I thought they were really great.
They were like authentic.
Yeah,
British.
UK punk.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they said they'd been doing it for like 37 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So these guys, they're not like young guys, but they were really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Speaking on that, what was the sort of age range of like the crowd, would you say? Was it all over the place?
It was
the youngest. There was literally somebody carrying an infant around. We're like, who does that? Who brings an infant to a concert like this? Luckily, that baby had a headset on, like noise canceling headphones.
Okay. Yeah.
But it was bizarre walking in going, what the heck?
Yeah, I saw one other girl that was like maybe like 4 or so with a like big old earmuffs on too. So.
Okay.
Yeah. They were mostly like, it was folks our age.
Yeah, people our
definitely
age.
Definitely some folks that were older.
Some people
that
have been
long
time.
There was a lady who wasn't wearing her shirt that was quite a bit older than us.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was a very colorful audience. Really
a cross section of it was quite the cross section of humanity. Yeah. It was a lot of fun though. And like and everybody had a really great time. Like you could
That's good.
Yeah,
no real trouble.
The mosh pit like had its fun. There was several people were crowd surfing and stuff like that for some of the shows.
Rightfully so.
But it was really good. It was a lot of fun. Get to sort of get in touch with music that was from my era, but I was not allowed to listen to at the time.
Yeah, I'm a bad influence on him. No. I'm just gonna come right out and say that. But bad influence in such a good way.
Yes. Yeah, it was a fantastic show.
Nice.
I definitely like really enjoyed like you know singing along to as much of Smash as I actually knew. And but it was what was really awesome was like the whole audience like was in on it like.
That's
you know,
cool.
There was times when like he would be like, "All right, it's really important you all sing along to this next part." And if you shoot, what's the name of that song? That particular song. But anyway, like the whole everyone chimed in. Like there was one like was like, "No,
that
I'm too cool for this." And like, everyone was like, "Yeah."
Yeah, it's a good audience. And it wasn't too large, even though it was at the Shoreline, it wasn't too large of a venue, so you didn't feel like you were 5 miles away. Like you normally do at the Shoreline.
Yeah.
Didn't need binoculars. Didn't have big jumbo screens that you were watching.
Yeah.
Just felt like you're in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
It was a blast.
Yeah, it was such a good show.
Yeah, I'm glad we went.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, definitely added to bands to look up on my music list and
pick up. Always
Stiff
nice.
Little Fingers
Find
sold it for
new.
Me and getting their next album.
Yeah, which coming out
just
in the next...
released. Yeah, I think.
Oh,
so,
okay.
And he was like, yeah, we're totally surprised because like we've never done any, like had any real like chart impact here in the States, but they debuted at 18 in the UK. So it's like,
okay.
Right on. So I'm looking forward to that album when we purchase it.
Nice.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Cool. Yeah.
A lot of ink there too. That was fun watching.
Yeah.
People watching with all that ink. Good stuff.
Mostly good.
Mostly. Mostly. Certainly mostly. Not all of it. But yes, mostly good.
Nice.
Yes. Yeah, it was good times.
Cool. All right, well, hopefully you out there in Radioland had a good time listening to our show. That's going to do it for tonight. We'll be back next week from 6 to 8 here on KACU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound, Robots Attack. I'm Joe.
I'm Caleb.
And
I'm Elaine.
And
or Bane, if you want.
is...
No, I don't think
that's
me.
Yeah, no, that's me. I just look different in the movie. That's all.
I worked out for this role.
Just a little bit smaller in real life.
I bulked up a bit.
Just a little bit, honestly.
Just a little.
It was very severe.
Anyways, I'll stop.
All right, so let's give the folks one last time how they can get in contact with us.
If you would like to interact with us, even if the show
the show's over.
If the show might be over, but the internet is still there, and that is how you can get in touch with us. You can enter this on Facebook. You can do a search for Robots Attack in the little search bar at the top of Facebook, or just go to facebook.com/robotsattackshow, all one word together. That's us.
But I'm not on Facebook. I only have Twitter. What do I do?
Well, if you're on Twitter, we still got you covered. You can go find us at Robots Attack Me, all one word, all lowercase, and that will be our handle. If you...
I don't like Facebook or Twitter. I like emailing.
Congratulations, we have email for you, good sir.
Yes!
We are robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And if you're one of those people that's just like, wait, I
can't remember all of that.
It's a lot of information.
It is a lot
too
of information.
Much social media.
Then remember this, robotsattack.me. That is where you'll find archive episodes of our show, past show notes, and we have comment section. So you can contact with us there. We have an email form if you want to email us to the website, or you can link to our social media from there on the direct button.
Nice. All right. That's going to do it. Everyone out there, have a wonderful weekend.
Yes.
We will see you next week. All right. Peace out.
Raccoon. Veronica. Mixto.